We're at Commodity Classic, and we're going to talk with one of the growers here from Illinois, Paul Rasmussen from Genoa, Illinois. And Paul, you were telling me that's north central part of the state?
Yes, it's north central part of the state. It's about 60 to 65 miles west of Chicago and DeKalb County.
Okay, so you were here for some early activities today. So what have you been talking about?
Well, I came down on Sunday. Our board had a meeting, board meeting on Monday, and then today I listened in on the soy aquaculture meeting as well as the USEC meeting, the United States Soybean Export Council meeting, and then I had another meeting after that, so it's been filled up with different meetings.
You've been pretty involved with soybean groups for a while then?
Well, I came on this board, the Illinois Soybean Association board, in August of 2012. And as the director of the Illinois Soybean Association, I represent Illinois on the Soy Transportation Coalition. So much of my involvement has been with the transportation area.
Let's talk about that a bit. President Trump has promised to work on infrastructure, and we'll see if he can get that done or not. But that's an area that I'm sure is of interest to you.
Definitely. We have an infrastructure that I think it's probably the world envy in a lot of ways, but it is aging and it is crumbling and ready to crumble more. So if we can get help from the top, that would be great. Funding is always an issue, but hopefully we can find some dollars and make some true improvements to our infrastructure before it's catastrophic.
And I imagine the river is pretty important to you over there.
Yeah, the river is. I think Illinois has 1,700 miles of navigable waters. Between the internal rivers that come in, like the Illinois River, and with the Ohio River on the south, and then Mississippi, obviously, on our west border. So it's very important. A lot of grain goes south.
And we've heard it said if there were some kind of catastrophe along the river there, it could really affect things.
Well, everybody's bottom line would change a whole bunch because basis would really widen. The railroads would be able to basically ask whatever price they wanted for grain cars, and we've seen that situation happen with the oil rush that was going up in the Dakotas and stuff, and most of that grain from Minnesota and the Dakotas goes west to the Pacific Northwest for loading out there. And when that oil thing came on, all of a sudden that was a higher priced commodity than corn or beans. So those guys, they were hurting. You know, their basis went, instead of being 20 or 30 cents on corn, all of a sudden it was $1, $1.50, and that makes a whole lot of difference to a person's bottom line.
Give me your thoughts on the ag economy right now, and we're in kind of a tough stretch here.
That's true. You know, it's a time when we saw our prices go up, and then we saw all of our input costs go up, and input costs followed the up cycle a lot quicker than they're following the down cycle in prices, so it always kind of creates a damper. And causes problems for everybody to make that adjustment to getting back to lower prices. Hopefully, you know, our soybeans, they've been a little bit of a highlight because they have stayed stronger than people had predicted. And, you know, we've had good yields as well. So with good yields, hopefully we can have some opportunities coming up where either forward pricing or maybe the market will hold fairly strong. You know, we do have a big South American crop that they're in the middle of harvesting right now, and hopefully we'll have another good crop ourselves. But when you have a good crops one after another, it does build supply, but it also helps to foster greater demand too, because eventually people gear up to use the product that we're producing. So hopefully, I guess it can be difficult, but there's opportunities as well.
March 1st tomorrow, boy, planting season is right around the corner. So are you looking at an early spring there?
Too early to tell. In my part of the state, you know, we don't normally start much before the middle of April. I actually, my target date is always the 20th of April. If the weather conditions and the soil temperature and soil moisture are right, that's when I'll try to be started. As of right now, yes, we've had a mild winter. Some people are concerned about moisture, but moisture situation can change so quickly going into spring. You know, you get a week of rain or even a few days of rain, and and you all of a sudden have saturated soils, and you know, that's what we need going into the spring is soils that have been fully replenished and then have dried out enough on top to support us and get the crop off to a good start.
So are you making any changes this year as far as cropping?
Well, I'm in a rotation, and it's a two-year corn, one-year soybean rotation, and I'm sticking to that. My acreage changes because I don't put just perfect number of acres in to make a one-third, two-thirds, but this year we coincidentally just happened to be up 100 acres on beans and down 100 acres on corn.
But not necessarily market-driven there.
No, it's based on my rotation.
Input costs this year, I mean, have you seen a pretty good drop in input costs?
We've seen some drop. You said pretty good. I guess that's a definition thing. I'd like to see greater cost cutting, you know, but seed companies, they've been very reluctant over the last few years to drop prices. I did see a little bit of that this year, whereas a year ago I saw very little cost cutting or cost savings on seed compared to the previous year. The other inputs, chemicals haven't changed very much, and fertilizers, they're down slightly, I think, from a year ago, but very slightly. The year, you know, 2 years ago, they were down a little bit more. You know, they've dropped a little bit each of the last two, 3 years.